A sibling by natural birth, adoption, a near relation, a fellow countryman, a disciple or follower, one of the same faith, a fellow man. It is one who is beloved or closely united with another in non-sexual affection, a brother. It's a bond, a kinship that goes beyond acquaintance, beyond friendship. There is a oneness, a strand not easily broken, brotherhood. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. My name is Rhonda and I come to you from Foundations Bible Church in Winnebago, Minnesota. Today we find that it is becoming more and more difficult to find those strands of brotherhood as we now have accepted the labels placed upon us. We are the left and the right, nationalist or populist, pro-life or pro-choice, liberal or conservative. We are Baptist or Catholic, we are divided by beliefs. And we are no longer thinkers or conversationalists, but we are recorders, programmed to repeat the most current talking points that we hear. We don't have time to research for ourselves, and in truth, have every reason in these days to question the research we do find. Families are torn apart, marriages are torn asunder, politically we are at war with each other, and as followers of Christ, we interpret his words to fit and pacify our personal beliefs. And as to faith, one would question what faith is, what it looks like, and in whom does ours lie? Questions we need to each ask ourselves. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Such are the words of wisdom spoken by the Spirit through Paul. And quite often when we are gathered for prayer, I am reminded of why we are gathered. We come together, or we are called together, to be with one heart, one mind, one purpose, and that to worship the Lord our God, to bring honor and glory to his name, to proclaim his name to the people, to the nations, and to remind the saints that as we gather together, we may have many requests to place before him, but it is him and him alone that we come to, that we praise, that we place our trust in, that it is in him and him alone that we can be saved and restored. He is our God, and we are to be his people. Cyprian, one of the early church fathers, once wrote, In his commandments he said, Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am with them. He then goes on to write, The Lord rebukes the faithless for their disagreements and entrusts peace to the faithful by his word. He shows us that he is with two or three who pray with one mind, rather than with a large number who differ. It is the coming together with one heart, one mind, one purpose, to worship the Lord our God and him alone, to give fully of ourselves in submission to him, to give fully of ourselves in love for him, to give fully of ourselves over to the acknowledgement of him. That is for the best of ourselves, our families, our communities, our nation. We must speak the words of our Savior and Lord, Father, not my will, but thine be done. In these days, there are many groups of people that have come together, fallen into place throughout various ways, that serve one goal, one purpose. They consider themselves a brotherhood, our vets, theirs to protect the homeland and our families, law enforcement and emergency personnel whose duty it is to preserve and protect. And at one time, our leaders in the government came together as one to lead and to guide this country going forward. Theirs was a duty to serve the people in whom their trust to lead had been placed. There are factions and groups that come together for a cause. Theirs a common belief for that cause. And there are gangs of young people who, being abandoned in every other way, come together as family, having each other's back, whatever may come before them. No matter if it be to come together to conquer, or filled with hatred or evil intent, or that together they stand for righteousness and justice, together they find that they have been called to stand. Brothers they are, and as a brotherhood, they stand together. But what of the church? Just in the past years, what has happened to the brotherhood of believers? Sisters, know that you are not excluded in this conversation, as our bonds and ties take up causes, and we join in fighting for or against and are drawn one to another. But I use the term brothers here to represent all of mankind. Nearly every major denomination has been confronted with a split within the body, a tearing apart of the brotherhood of Christ. The split in the culture, its views, its interpretations of life and death has touched every area of our lives. We have allowed it to cloud our thinking, to bind us to worldly thoughts. We have allowed it into the body for fear that we would offend someone, hurt their feelings. We have, as a church, allowed the evil one to take that which is meant for good and turn and twist its meaning ever so slightly, and with that we find ourselves wanting to get along, to go along. And why? Because it's the right thing to do, we're told. But that then raises another question to ponder. Whose voice are you listening to? Herein lies the problem. We are no longer looking at our brother now as our brother or sister, as they whom we claim to love now have become our enemies, even though we would not come right out and say it. We cannot serve the one true God if we find that we call Christ brother in name only, as we have no sight or vision, no hearing for truth anymore. We do not like to be made uncomfortable during a sermon. That's conviction. We do not forgive as we are called to do. This may mean that we have to confess our part in whatever the problem may be, and that would mean admitting we are wrong. That's pride. We would rather not say anything. Rebuke. Another, when the need arises, and we are too busy to help, to correct another in our love for them, and we have been silenced, oppressed, by not coming to one another in love and with wisdom when we see wrong or hear of it. Instead, we choose to turn our heads the other way. It comes back time and time again, the saying, they can do what they want to do if it doesn't involve me in any way. Can I say then that I love them? That they are my brother if I turn away? The world, the church, the line between them becomes blurrier and finer every day. Brothers and sisters, I beseech you to come together. Our enemy, the devil, roams back and forth, enticing the weak, devouring the sick, ambushing the strong. He comes with his brotherhood of demons and minions, and they are united with one purpose in mind, to seek and destroy. But I remind you, of his power. His power is only temporary. His reign on this earth is only temporary. His time is short. His defeat already determined, written for all time, and accomplished. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. You see, Jesus has called us one by one into the brotherhood of Christ. We, upon answering that call, are adopted as sons and daughters of the one true living God. There is no higher calling, no honor greater, no privilege or desire that we should seek than to walk in the way of our Lord. You see, coming together to seek his ways, to seek his face, to know his heart, his mind, and his purpose, we would do well to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, "Not my will be done, but yours, Father." What would the church, his church, look like if we came together, brothers and sisters in Christ, with one heart, one mind, and one purpose? And we worship the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our soul, and our strength. If we wrote on the doorposts of our houses, "In God, in God alone, I trust." If we spoke to our children of the Lord our God, of his faithfulness, of his love, and if we spoke to one another of that same while over coffee or a meal, and there, wherever two or three were gathered, we welcomed him into our conversation and spoke with fondness of one another in love, a family in every sense of the word, a true brotherhood of believers, honoring our Father who art in heaven. Every moment of every day, and everything, we are to include him, our brother, the Lord Jesus. He has set the example before us as he prayed that as he and the Father are one, so should we be one with him also, and in that we also would be of one heart, one mind, with one purpose. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Do not be divided because of those things that you want, because of the things that you believe or desire to have happen, but together to serve, to worship, and to follow and truly love the Lord our God, and to seek and follow His ways. Together, one heart, one mind, one purpose. That Thy will, Father, not ours, be done. Family in Christ is built on strands that cannot be broken, love that cannot be conquered. It is set on the hope of eternity and the promise of its fulfillment given through the work of our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who once laid down His life for us only to pick it up for us, so that through Him we may live. There is a brotherhood of light and that of darkness. And the question you must ask yourself is, who is my Father, and how deep is my relationship with Him? You see, you cannot have a foot in both. And so you must ask yourself, who do I serve?